The title of this video is not a joke. God purposely mistranslated the Bible. How do I know this? Because all things are of God, and if God wanted a perfect translation of what I call the Bible, I'm going to make a distinction for you in a second between the Bible and Scripture. There's a difference. If God wanted it to be perfect, it would be perfect. It's that simple. The next question would be, why would he do that? Well, as you would expect, I know the answer to that question. It's a profound question. It's a good question. And why is there a difference between the Bible and the Scripture? Let me give you the difference. Let me first define for you the terms. The Bible is that thing they sell at the Christian bookstore that has many different translations. The Scripture is what God wrote. Now, we do not have the original Scriptures. God also made sure that that would never happen. They would be worshipped. They would be... Well, if we had the originals and we knew that they were the originals, then there's the possibility, at least idealistically, for there to be uniformity in belief. God doesn't want uniformity of belief, in case you haven't noticed. So there is the Bible and there are Scriptures. Our goal as students of the Word is to get as close to the original Scriptures as we can. Not many people even think about that, understand that. I've just eliminated probably 98% of the population of those who actually inquire as to the accuracy of a translation. So right there, we've already formed a subgroup of humanity that cares about what God says. Now, what is the difference between those who care about what God truly said and about those who don't care about what God truly said? The difference is profound, and it has meaning in your life, because there is a huge benefit to be had in the next life, not this one, oh no, but the next one, of being persecuted by religious people. This was the suffering of Christ. The suffering of Christ was being persecuted by people who condemned him in the name of God. Jesus told his disciples, "Those who kill you will think that they are doing divine service to God." That's how deceived they are. But they're using what they think is the word of God to do it. Jesus convicted the Pharisees of invalidating the word of God for the sake of their traditions, but their traditions were so near and dear to them, the Pharisees, that is, that they codified them. They actually added them to the law. That made them self-righteous bastards, because then they had the word. They had the word, but they didn't really have the word. They had a facsimile of the word. They didn't even have that. It was a twisting. It was a bastardization of the word. And we have that today. That's the beauty of it. I want you to see it now as a beauty, as a beautiful thing, and not something to be despised, even though it's difficult in this life. There's the Bible, and then there's Scripture. How many arguments have I had with people who claim to know the Bible, and they have the Bible. They have a book in their hand. The front cover says the Holy Bible. But we know that it is a mistranslated monstrosity. The King James Version alone has been convicted of containing over 20,000 translating errors, and people use the King James Version to tell me that God will eternally torment people, that human beings have free will, and on it goes. And they use the Bible. But I have recourse against them. What do I have? The Scripture. And God, in His great mercy and His great wisdom, provides a tool for us to find out what He really said. There are those who realize that these are translations. They realize this isn't the absolute, the original Word of God. But now we're talking about those who would pursue with every means given us by God what God really said. And God has a wonderful gift for these people who pursue it. You know what that gift is? I want to tell you. That gift is revelation. How many times have I told you that all one has to do is look one level beneath the surface and the gold is laying there? You notice that I've used the topic of gold as an analogy. Gold are precious, or precious gems or pearls. They're not lying on the surface. Are they pearls? No. You have to go to the bottom of the ocean, dig up those clams. It's a lot of work. No. Oysters, is that what it is? Clams? No, oysters, yeah. It's a lot of work. The prospectors that went west during the gold rush of 1849, they had to work hard. They had to get on their big waders, go into the rivers. What did they call it? Sluicing for gold. You had to go into caves. You had to dig. You had to go in with a pick and with a headlamp. And it's a lot of work, but a lot of people got rich. Follow me now. Today, we have the same privilege. Those who work will find it. They will find the gold. They will find the treasure because they have set forth. They have left their home, left their country, left their religion, and they are out to seek the Word of God, which is pure gold. And they will find the truth. They will find the truth. In the meantime, the rest of the population, the majority of the population, those who are not in the 0.01%, 0.001 actually, of those who seek, they will be reading the Bible. They will be reading the mistranslation. And God purposely designed it this way. That's why I tell you, God purposely mistranslated the Bible so that those who think they know God will persecute the ones who actually know God. And God makes that possible. Why would He do that? Again, it's great value. You'll find out in the next life the rewards you will receive, the benefits you will receive from suffering evil at the hands of religious people. It's the worst kind of suffering there is. Suffering at the hands of people who think they know God and who adjure you by the living God. That's what the high priest said to Jesus Christ at his trial. We adjure you by the living God, are you the Christ? They didn't know the living God. They just knew the God of their traditions. Today we have Bibles that do not proclaim the truth of God, but they proclaim traditions. And these people will hold these Bibles, and they will persecute you who know the actual Word of God. I don't see how else this could be unless there were two levels of revelation. Unless there were, I should say, two levels. One level of deception using the Holy Bible, and another level of revelation using the Scriptures, sought out diligently with the aid of concordances and the aid of good translations that were made based on concordances, such as the Concordant Literal New Testament. So the next time you get frustrated and ask yourself, why didn't God just translate the Greek word Ionian? Why didn't He just make sure that that word was translated correctly in the popular versions of the Bible? Why didn't He just, it would be so simple. Indeed it would. I'm glad you think that. Because He's God, and He could have done that. if God had just made sure that the Greek word Ionios was translated aeonian or age-lasting in the popular translations, then no one would believe in eternal torment. But no, God made sure that it was mistranslated eternal. And he made sure that that word was put, that adjective was put in front of words like torment. In Matthew 25:46, he made sure of it. So that you would have something to fight against, something to struggle against, something to stand for, against people who are persecuting you, holding the Holy Bible in their sweaty little hands. The fact that he chose not to do it makes me look for a motive. Because he's God. He can do anything. And then I see the motive. I see what God was up to the whole time. He was making it possible for you and me, the lovers of God's word, who set forth with our headlamps and our waders to find the truth. He's made it possible for us to suffer the same persecution that Jesus Christ suffered at the hands of the Pharisees, who threw their traditions at him and condemned him by their traditions that they called the word of God, but it wasn't. God's not doing this to you, my friends. No. He is doing it for you.